So hi everyone, I don't know if you guys heard that music. This is my first attempt at this, and you guys can tell me if I'm too close or too far to the microphone. Basically, the way I wanted to break this down tonight, I know other people have joined me. I don't have any of their sounds turned on right now. I just basically wanted to try and cover one topic for every half an hour, and you guys can let me know what you think about it. So I'll get started here. Just give me a second while I adjust some things. I want to hear GF. Okay. My first topic tonight is troubleshooting, because that's the type of guy I am. That's the type of guy I've always been. That's what I was best at most of my jobs. I develop various techniques and methods, but at the same time, I knew that I had to learn the enemy. I was following an instruction that goes, "Be as cautious as serpents, but as innocent as doves." Well, you won't know how to be cautious as a serpent unless you've studied it. So I always advise caution whenever you're going to look into anything that you might be a little bit worried about. My dreams were always to come across the plans of the enemy, so when my dreams came true, knowing that it was the writings, teachings, thoughts, and methods of the enemy, I prayed for protection against such demonic, devilish stuff. But aside from that, when it came to work, research, and whatnot, I devised various techniques and methods, because true troubleshooting isn't where you just regulate something once. True troubleshooting is when you can regulate something outright, teach it to everybody else. A real good troubleshoot is when you regulate it so good you only have to do it once a month, when before everybody was doing it once a day. You can apply different methods to things. You've learned things along the way yourselves, but you can also learn this from other people too. One of the things that you might be required to do is adjust your perceptions of things, because we've all been trained up and taught to perceive things in a certain way, and at this time in our lives, we're coming to a point where we're realizing there were a lot of lies out there. It's not necessarily anybody's fault, because we've all been fooled, but in order to get through some of this without having so many headaches and so many breakdowns and crying fits, sometimes it's just as simple as altering your perception. A lot of times along this voyage, that happened to me, because at first the information was rough. But eventually, after I got over the sting, the pain, whatever you'd put words to, I'd realized that, well, I did want to know. I did want to come across this. I didn't know this was happening before, or if I had a sense of it, I didn't have any verification. Now I've come across that verification. Now I know this is happening. So now I can start wrapping my mind around it to develop a technique or a method to counter it. And basically changing your perception and being grateful that, well, at least you've made it through alive, and you're going to be able to move on now. You also have to try and live as much as you can in reality. For a guy like me, that's a joke, because I hardly take anything seriously. I've always been a joker all my life. I've always been the guy that might disagree or want to have a question for you when nobody else does. But regardless of it, I am a realist. And one of the reasons that I was provokeful like that is because, having perceived reality at a young age, and having perceived that everybody else wanted to live in La La Land, you could say in an immature way I was a little bit vindictive with everybody. I'm like, you want to mess with my reality? I'm going to mess with your reality. But I've grown up. I don't do that anymore. But as much as I can, I try and live in the real. And that would mean that regardless of something that you might have heard, regardless of something that you might feel, if you come across information and then you can look around you in your world and realize that it's true, it's really happening. Now, I've had people come across to me and say, well, I don't want to do that because then I'm giving into it. No, giving into it is that once you come across this realization, you continue to participate like a blind idiot and tell everybody else nothing is going on. You know, but if you make a different decision and decide to face reality, that's the advantageous thing to want to be doing. It doesn't mean that you're giving it any power. It just means that you're being honest with yourself, honest with what's going on around you. You're also going to have to be honest about things with yourself, probably a lot more than other people, because all my life, that's what it's been a big voyage about. You have loved ones that you trust until they lie. You have friends that you trust until they lie. You have friends that lie and you still trust them. You have all kinds of scenarios. You have your young period where you're honest because you don't know any better. You haven't been taught to lie. Who would want to do that? Eventually, as you get older and this world haunts in on you, you start doing some of the tricks other people do, and you start blinding yourself. You find ways to distract yourself. Your greatest weapon against yourself is coming up with reasons and reasonings. Those can be really scary, because you can... Well, reasons are like buttholes. Everybody has one. But you have to face things and be honest with yourself if you really want to change. There's nothing wrong with going back and checking things out. People have accused me of living in the past all my life. No, I am just always have certain things there because I'm ever vigilant. I've proven weak in that field before. I can go on in confidence that I'm not going to make those errors again, but I don't have that confidence in a slack, unresponsible type of way. No, I still have the responsibility, and usually the pains I've put myself through in those trials sting enough that as long as I keep the lesson near, our enemy will still parade the same temptations in front of us. That won't change. But as long as you can look at it and go, yeah, thanks, you stay over there, I'll stay over here. You know, I'm 38 and I still bump into people that haven't been through half as much as I have, and they're still making the same mistakes, and they don't see the trick in it. The example I'll give is being disrespectful to your partner and having an affair on them. And the term I use to coin it is, it's all just a fun little tickle. It starts out as just a fun little tickle, and at the end of it, you've stabbed yourself with so many pains, and you've utterly destroyed the relationship with those that you love. And what was it worth? Was it worth that stupid little tickle? So having passed through a fire like that, afterwards you can stand there and watch all kinds of things pass in front of you and know exactly what they are and leave them right there. And watch other people. You'll try and help them, but most don't want to listen. In order to do this, you have to have a form of humility. You have to realize that you're not right about everything. You don't know everything. Other people are going to impart information to you that you didn't have before. That's to your advantage. We've learned along the way that by, let's say, closing ourselves off, fencing ourselves in, regulating our relationships just to who we have dealings with and nothing more than that, that didn't teach us very much, and we weren't very humble. That's when you start becoming king of your castle and wanting to outdo the neighbors, and he has 2 dwarves and you have 6 now, plus Snow White. No, this doesn't work, you know. We're all the same. We're all born in sin. We're all capable of sinning. We're all capable of misunderstanding something, having a warped perception, a tilted perception, a skewed perception. It's much like anything else. If you're going to run away from it, you're never going to regulate that. You're never going to get anywhere. So a form of humility will be to your advantage in that sense, and that's what's going to help you grow and learn more. Dogmas come along, and they're such an appropriate word. Dogma. Yeah, because like a dog, you follow it going, yeah, ma. There's a lot of dogmas in the world. A lot of traditions, a lot of ways of teachings and schoolings that are completely and utterly opposed to us. There's no doubt about it. You can go about it yourself and research it yourself, and then you'll understand more what I'm talking about. But that's what you see the sheeple following. The dogmas are established in the learning centers, and the students come out like repetitive parrots, repeating the same thing. And so the sheeple out in the street, they'll read a report from the Times where a doctor says this, and then another parrot repeats it on Popular Mechanic, and before you know it, that's what everybody's standard answer is at the job. And for people like us, some of us that have been in this for quite a while, we can spot you a mile away. No joke. Don't take yourself that serious. It kind of gets boring and frustrating after a while. We can expect your answers, much more than you can expect ours. And sometimes we just wish that you'd learn how to read something. You know, use that big sponge up there that they gave you. Dogmas, you have to be able to recognize them. And after you've recognized them, there's not much you can do about the people around you. Everything starts with you and what you do yourself. So you establish what you're going to do. You just make sure that the dogma doesn't have an effect on you, and that you're starting to impart knowledge about it to other people around you so that they can change. And I found that it's much to, like, when you drop something in water and you see the ripples go out, it has its own effect. We've become lazy. We've become very lazy in these times. And in what type of lazy? In thinking. People have to learn how to think again. Now, I know that it has to do with a matter of time and nobody having time. Well, my life has been strange like that when I find it necessary, I make the time. I find the time. Because thinking is usually how you get answers to things. And everybody always, they're very quick to tell you, oh, you're thinking too much. And just about anybody that's telling you that, if you to witness them for a day, they don't spend much time thinking at all. They're automatic like robots. Thinking has to do, the similarity that I was given, or the demonstration I was given, was that when you're given food, do you shove the whole plate down your throat? Now, none of us are lizards or people that can dislocate our jaw bones, so I know better than that. No, you have to take your time and you have to chew on it and move it around and mash it up. That's the same thing that you're supposed to do when you're taking in information. You're not just supposed to leave it there. Once you've taken it into that cranium of yours, you have to chew it and twist it and turn it and think of anything that you possibly can to identify it to you, as far as how it pertains, what you can do about it. Meditating, spending time thinking on these things. This is how you can resolve a lot of things. This is how you can find the similarities. This is how you can find the similarities in what they're doing for you to be able to identify them in just about anything they're up to. Because everything these days is like 1938 Germany. The only thing we're missing is loudspeakers playing German music and the little mustache guy screaming, you know. You have to learn how to change. Changing is not easy. It never comes easy. It can, if you want it to, but we all have to realize that when we came along, we were innocent in the beginning. And we let this world change us. That was how we got to where we are. So, if you think that you can just switch back overnight like nothing, No. If it took 20 minutes to get hot, it might take 20 minutes to cool down too. It might take 40 minutes because you might not know what you just messed with. But the key to it is to change after a while. You're supposed to stop when you're doing something wrong. Admit to what you were doing. Find out why you're not supposed to do it, what it means to yourself, why you feel you're not supposed to do it. It's not about checking out anybody else. Once you can start doing this, you can start showing other people how to do it too. I didn't get here by not changing. That is for damn sure. I've been through a lot of changes. I've been through ups and downs. But it's a path, and I do it all over again because I'm quite happy to be where I am right now. I wouldn't change anything for the world, except for the things that I've already changed and the things I still plan to change. And, Lord willing, we'll see what happens with that. When it comes time to confrontations, these aren't schoolyard fights anymore. These are turning into intellectual affairs with people that are convinced that they're highly intellectual. And that's just not true. Some of them might be. Some of them might have the capability of it. But when I consider from my research where they come from, we're capable of the same thing. There are many of us out here on the outside that have the exact same capabilities as them of thinking things, of being constructive thinkers, and being able to disseminate between various things. We also have disappointments. I've had days where learning stuff gave me a bad headache, or I was sick to the stomach, I wanted to puke, or I was dizzy, or confused, or stressed. Now, I have to admit that these days, I have a lot less disappointment, because I've accepted that these people, as far as evil is concerned, they're capable of anything. They really are. But as far as confrontation goes, I've changed on that in that I'm much more apt to run into them now, because I haven't learned very much from running away. No, it was only when I stayed and I confronted people to learn, let's say, what they have a misconception about. If we were to learn why they decided to be racist, what their teaching was, why they might hate men, why they might hate this, that, the other thing. You can't correct them. You can't set them on a path straighter. Sorry guys, I didn't see that. Do you hear me better now? Okay. I look forward to confrontations lately because I only learn from them. And if I'm really good at it, people learn from me too. You have to be very diplomatic when you do it. You have to approach it with a cool temper. You have to be ready for everything and anything. But most of your answers will already be there in your head because you know better, because it's all about manipulation and turning us against each other. And usually just being able to point these out, send people to specific documents where they can read it themselves and understand what's going on, then you can break through to them. But like I was saying before, confrontations are much like anything else. Running from them will never solve it. That isn't how you learn how to troubleshoot something or get by it. When it comes to this world and what they've taught us, since it's so skewed, you have to have a kind of opposite direction on everything. You have to be able and capable of thinking that whatever they just said to you is the complete opposite. Because it usually is. Much of it is doublespeak. This is the same way that you see through their writing. When you read their writing and you see this is why they go to school, excuse the expression, they learn how to be better bullshitters. They know how to make a sentence into a paragraph and dress it up like a royalty. And yet, if you know how to read the paragraph properly, you see the one sentence and how twisted they are. And when it comes to troubleshooting, it's not always about the exact opposite, because we've also learned about the left-right paradigm. So one of the things that you have to be able to do is come up with a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, anything that it takes. I'm the type of person that most of the jobs that I would work at, people would come along and give me some type of challenge and tell me. Now, that's impossible. Nobody's ever done it before. Excuse me. I would smile. I'd just smile and say, show me. Bring me to it. Let's see. And before you know it, I'd have their jaw dropping, going, yeah, well, you know, it's all in how much you want it, guy. You either want it or you don't. I want to screw these people up. That's what I really want to do. I want to stand up for my creator. But aside from that, I don't want what they're doing to work anymore. Because when you don't take a stand, it's the same thing as going along with it. You know, when you just sit there and don't do anything. And I can't do that either. So, that's why I say troubleshooting has many options to it. There's usually always a way to do things. When it comes to doing what's right, people hurt their heads about it. Well, as long as you're approaching it with a right heart and with the right state of mind, it's my opinion you shouldn't have anything too much to worry about, because you're not doing it with this vindictive intention, which is the exact opposite of how they approach everything. They probably approach everything like vampires, dripping, you know? Let's just put it that way. I have to finish off this half hour by giving my tribute to the great creator, the great troubleshooter, because that's why he's the one that I follow. That's what he proved to be to the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt. And Moses was worried, saying, look, I can't just show up to them saying God. They're going to ask me who sent them. And I have to have, you know, the proper answer for them. Now, Jehovah started by saying, I believe he started by saying, he who causes to become. But after that, he said, my name is Jehovah. And then he went on to say, tell them I shall prove to be what I shall prove to be has sent me. Now, most people have asked, what does that mean, Brian? Or Lugnuts, because I'm not Brian anymore. Now, I just tell them, it means this. When Moses would go back, they would probably throw every scenario at him. Well, we're not going to have this. Well, we're not going to be able to do that. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? And what the Lord Jehovah was saying was that, I will prove to be whatever solution is required, so that at the end of this, you will be out of Egypt. And we all know what happened, don't we? Yes. And in lots of impossible situations where people said this can't happen or that can't happen, we now call those miracles, because they did happen. So, he's my inspiration. So, if you guys could let me know on the chat here, did you hear the music the last time that I played it? Did you hear the song? Nobody's telling me anything. I was asking, can anybody hear the music when I play it? Mm-mm. Sorry, something's wrong with my chat. No? Give me a second. I'm going to do a little test here, and then you guys let me know. Do you hear that? Alright, so if that's good, sorry for that, if that's good, I'm going to start the song over so that I can go take actually, I'll put on a better song. I'm going to be right back if it's alright with you guys in 5 seconds, and we'll be on to our next subject, which is race. Thank you.
He's not here right now. He'll be right back. He's in the toilet.
Hey, you little Mexican. Get away from
him. Friggin' Mexicans. Okay, hold on. He's supposed to be cleaning the rooms. Alright, we're back here. And we're on to our next topic. And our next topic will be race. I'm covering this subject because it's getting on my nerves. Why is it getting in my nerves? Well, it's being brought up a lot lately. And I thought we were all much more mature than this and past this, really. So, first off, for anybody that has any doubts or questions or ideas about the races being so different, why, you know, well, there must be one that's weaker, and there must be this, and there must be that. If we compare ourselves to the animal kingdom, we don't see one dog. We don't see one cat. We might have particular breeds of animals that are all by themselves. But in general, there's great diversity. And we've all seen movies about, like, iRobot. And people's perceptions about clones. Well, we all know how terribly boring a world like that would be. Who would want to walk out and just see the same face all over the place? We'd be busting ourselves buying all kinds of different clothes and stuff just so we could feel different. Because, I mean, that's what everybody's doing now. So there's a little reality check on that one. You know, it's nice that people are different. When I first came across the, I was given a book of, Trinidad and Tobago. And a guy had taken some pictures of different women from Trinidad and Tobago to show all the different cultures and races that had established themselves there and what the women that came from there looked like. And my goodness, I'd have to say all beautiful women, but they all showed different perceptions of beauty. That was the greatest thing about it, you know? Who could complain? Every time that I saw mixed kids, they looked great. So some people would be like, "Oh, Brian, you just want to make everybody the same like mud." Well, that would never happen, you know? I live in reality. You know, most of my family chose what most other people choose, to stick with their own. I was the black sheep. I was the exception. I was the rarity, you know? So, that's the type of guy I am. But the message has been brought to us over and over again at the same time, if we want to be real about things, that all men are equal. So, why? Why should we feel like somebody's above the other one? As we've been learning from these people that would like to destroy us, they like us to have contention over this. Let's say the crude way, they get a rise out of it. And we shouldn't give them that anymore. You know? The way that they've used immigration against us has been manipulation. And so, it comes off where you want to blame people. That doesn't work, you know. We're all being treated the same here. When we want laws, they're all the same. Everything about us is the same. So, even though we might come from a different culture, I mean, I have so many different friends from different cultures, and the ones I get along with the best are the ones that think exactly like me, that we are all equal, you know. I might have a forte on one subject, somebody else has a forte on another. And so what do when we get along? We complement each other. That's a cool way of living if you think about it. When you look at our body parts, when you get past this and the doctors have to get involved, all the parts are in the same places. Everything, kidney, lungs, you know what I mean. It doesn't matter where you come from. Now, I remember once where I had just come back from somewhere, and I was on the metro, and there's this big, huge, white guy. Looks like he's from Poland or Czechoslovakia or something like that. He's big and massive like a bear, with the head the size of a fishbowl for a shark, you know, massive guy. And beside him, there's a little South American guy with tan skin, and he's probably 4 foot something, you know. It was a funny little scene to look at, but they're standing beside each other holding the pole. And I just got this thought in my mind that if we found their bones now, well, then somebody would say that the Czech guy was from a tribe of giants, and that the South American guy was from a tribe of pygmies. You know, that's basically what they've been doing with us, and it's all malarkey. I do know that there was a race of giants on this planet, and I do know that there are men born today that have a sickness that makes them giants, and I've never heard any of them too happy about it, because it's usually talk of a painful existence. So aside from that, nothing impresses me there. It shows us how equal we are, and the parts that we play in life too. I mean, if you were to hang around the household of a Mexican person, or a South American person, or a Chinese person, I'm pretty sure that the guy gets mad at his wife too, that they have arguments too, the kid lies and gets them mad too, something in the house breaks too and upsets everybody, the dogs go missing, whatever it be. The same stuff happens to everybody, everywhere, all over the world. So we all play the same parts in this great big play of ours. There's no reason to feel one actor is more important than the other. We realize it's only these psychopathic eugenicists that think like that. Why would we want to take on their type of thinking? When it comes to race, it has been all about manipulation. Our history teaches that from the start, that it's all about manipulation. They have manipulated this. They manipulate in the sense that what they've done over there in Europe, basically every country has its own race of people living there, and the immigration policies change so that all of a sudden people are flooded in. Now policy is put out that makes it harder and harder for the original citizens of that country to live there, to prosper, to open a business. But other people come in from other countries, they get allocations, bonuses, checks, a permit to do this, they're allowed to do that. And they're well aware that if we don't think about it enough, we're only going to blame what we see. The guy opening up the dépanneur at the corner. I've never been able to do that though. I've always thought past it. I've always been well aware that it was the bank that would say no to me and yes to the Asian person. So I'm well aware of where the blame is laid. It's laid in policy and the people who write it. And this is another power that you either give them or you don't. If you think that you're going to lose something personal out of it, that's impossible. The only thing that I've ever done from bumping into other races and cultures is grown. That's all you can ever do. You can learn more and at the same time reaffirm those basics that all men are created equal and we're all the same and that we all deserve the same respect and treatment. But it gets us into blaming. This is a problem. People get into blaming other people. This is another way that they've gotten away with things, because everybody's looking for something to blame. If you see a certain area start to get inhabited by many people, I could even say it from my street here, that all of a sudden on my street here, there's much more Arab people and African people than there ever was, because this community was mostly Italian before. But am I going to be dumb enough to play into their game and blame these people because things are going better for them than they might be for me? No, since I'm aware of the game that's afoot, I won't give it to them. But these people can enrich my life by imparting knowledge to me that I didn't have before. So I can't really see where there's something negative about that. When you end up blaming people, This exposes something I call a heart condition. The Bible calls it that too. It's exposing your weakness, whether it be your own, formed by yourself, or whether you formed it through other people, the ones who raised you, the people that influenced you. But it gets more basic than that, because to me, Jesus' law that treat others as you want to be treated was the easiest one to stick one, and it exposes the heart conditions. If I want to get along with you, I'm supposed to get along with you no matter what. Doesn't mean we will, because most of the time it's the other people that'll pop up with something. You have to have your limitations. You're not going to give in to sin. You're not going to take part in something that's nasty or whatnot. But when I was talking about race and manipulation, if you're so ready to blame the other person instead of looking at yourself, I mean, the example that I gave the other day was that we get mad at immigrants, and I've had a lot of Chinese people come into this area, and Hindu people, and what they'll do is over there in their country, 10 or 20 families will get together, and they'll pool all the money together, and they send one family over here, who is informed on all of the government grants to get and everything else, but they've also got a chunk of money. So, with this chunk of money, they open up a store, and they'll actually live off the cheapest things. They'll live off of noodles and fat and bread and very basic things just to gather up the money quick to get themselves a second store. Once they go off to their second store, another family comes over. They continue to do this until everybody is over here owning their own business in their own house. But I've personally taken the, the test myself, and I went to my own family members. Oh boy. That's quite a funny experience if anybody wants to try it. You know, why am I going to trust you with my money? What the hell am I going to get out of that? I'm doing my own thing. You do your own thing. That isn't the way things are done. Okay, but then you can stare at me and wonder why none of us prosper either. It exposes your heart condition. You're too greedy. You're too paranoid. You're too scared. You have a skewed vision. You're not willing to take a risk, or be wise for that matter. When we get into blaming, it exposes our biases, prejudices, different things that we're taught that we have to change. We have to learn how to change those things. When we realize how similar and the same we are now, we all want to be left alone and just live and enjoy our life. We have to realize at that same time then that if we still have a problem, it's either the other person's or ours. Now, as long as I spent my life pointing at everybody else, I never regulated a damn thing. The minute I started stopping and saying, wait a minute, mister, what part do you play in this? What part do you play in this? Do you play a part in it? If you do, why? Can you change it? How? Why? You know, just get it straight in your head, and then take the action that needs to be taken. That was the only time something changed for me. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same for everybody else. One of the things that the governments and people do to us that manipulates us too is in our exchanges. Because our exchanges between peoples are completely and utterly controlled and regulated and twisted and messed up. We're meant to screw each other. We're meant to treat each other with discontent and sneer at each other in the back. When I look at over here, because I'm not that much for defending religions, since I see past religions and I just have my belief in my Creator Himself and the one true religion, I feel any other religion is all the options that our enemy offers us, any flavor you want to get you on the wrong path. But when it comes to people coming over here, I'm coming home the other night, and CBC is having a panel from Ontario talking about how they should be changing this and changing that in Ontario. And I'm hearing all the members of the panel, so I can hear all of their accents. not one of them is from here. Now, I'm not saying anything against my American listeners that might be here tonight, but we all know that for our history, for the whole time that we've grown up, we got accustomed to saying we're sick of rooms of white guys, old white guys, making decisions for us. This wasn't a room of old white guys. Regardless of the fact that this is Canada, for the longest time, guys, it was the same thing for us. It was all rooms of white guys making decisions for us, too. So to hear this panel of people, and they're talking about, we have to change Canada for the better, so it is more welcoming for the people that come. And I'm like, well, it was welcoming enough for you to want to come. Doors wide open, baby. You know? And if anybody wants to charge me with racism, you know what you can do with that. My wife's an immigrant and she's black, so take that. My point in that one is that you'll notice that when they come over here, we had to crush Christianity. You know, we have to take it out of the way. It might offend people. Well, when I see a young Sikh student going into a classroom with one of those sharp little hook knives that they have for their religion, nobody was quite concerned with if I was intimidated or offended by that. And I know this is an old issue for some people, but regardless, they're in a mission now to take away national identities. I don't mind nations disappearing in that sense, but not in the way that they want to do it. That's completely twisted. We should be doing it just because we get along with each other, and we'd just be living in territories, because this is a northern territory, so we'd be talking from the Northern Territory to, right now, the Southern Territory. No big whoops about it. You know what I mean? But they have people come over here, and we crush our thing, and they came over here because they felt welcome, because we welcomed them. But we were not supposed to change everything about ourselves, because then we're not really being ourselves anymore. And we're not necessarily taking on their identity. We're going off into a zombie-like trance of having no identity at all. That's not really an option we want to follow. And we shouldn't want to be screwing each other over our exchanges. Our exchanges should be living beside each other, and you grow eggs and I grow tomatoes, and the guy across the street does the milk, and every now and then we get together and have omelets. But the whole street working together, nobody has anything to worry about, you know. People wanting regulations, yes, we understand this was out of caresses, as they say in French, you know, people screwing each other. But we've come to realize who was really screwing us, and that they're turning us against each other. We're also well aware that there are people that will continue to try and screw us. But I'm the type of person that's learned to be patient and know that what comes around goes around. That person's going to get their just deserves. I take it all in stride. You know, that nothing was really mine to begin with. So, hey, whoops, if I lost it. And if it was really mine, I shouldn't worry about it. Only if it wasn't mine, then I'm going to worry about it, because I have to make an excuse to somebody else. So, we should be removing all of these barriers that they've put around us. These barriers have no advantage whatsoever. They only work to their advantage. Right now, we're afraid of invisible lines that animals cross, doesn't seem to bother them. Plants cross, they don't recognize them. Airborne sickness, disease, dust, pollution, airlines, you name it, you know. This is insanity. And we have to start going out, talking to our neighbors, learning about them. You're going to bump into people and say, okay, I don't want to have anything to do with that person. We can't control everything. But you're never going to know if you've got four real, decent people living on your street if you've never talked to one of them, let alone 20. And you don't have to worry about the other 16. They'll get what they deserve. But at least now you've got four more people woken up. I talk to anybody, and I get criticized about it all the time. You know, what the hell, you know, they're looking at you like a fool, you know, they're laughing, eh? And I'm like, That's their loss. I go to sleep tonight, if you can understand that. I don't have anything to worry about. I fulfilled my obligation as a human being. They can either shoot the messenger or smarten up. But you can only take care of yourself, and I feel that obligation to take care of myself. When people want to use this race issue and the whole fact that, you know, then why weren't we all born the same and this and that, this also brings into question just about how grateful you are in life. Whether you're grateful or ungrateful. Because you're certainly happy that there's not only one dog. You're certainly happy that there's not only one cat. Otherwise you wouldn't be going to buy one. You're happy right now that not everybody has the same TV, or the same car, or the same face, or the same look. So when people use that excuse, they're being ungrateful. Because they can't feel all right with themselves, they turn it against the race that they don't like. If you understand what I mean. So if it's a white person not liking a black person, it's not really because they don't like them. Their dislike of them could have started out with just a general, I don't want to know you. But if they let it fester inside of them and bother them every time, until every time they see them, it aggravates them and then enrages them, then they've cultivated that sin just like a flower, and they're ready to pop, you know? And they take it out on the person that they feel is responsible for it. But it's really them exposing a weakness in themselves. They're ungrateful about what they've been given. They're ungrateful with the differences and beauties in life. They're more into the envy and point and blame. So people shouldn't want to be ingrates. It's not a good thing to do. We're happy that it's different flowers in the world, different rocks, different you name it. Life wouldn't be the same. When it comes to their plan, this is a great equalizer. They don't care. They don't care where you come from. They don't care what race you're from. I can say, in a way, they have a particular consideration for three races if I consider the paintings that are on at the Denver World Airport. That is scary. The little white Jewish girl, the Hindu Indian woman, and the black woman. Yes, they want to get rid of those races because they've been trying to kill them forever. And they're also the ones that will remain the most, in French we say, fidèle. They're reliable. They always manage to turn back to God. They never fully give in. And they can repopulate fast. So this really bothers them. But hey, even if you're not that, even if you're a Muslim, even if you're Chinese, Vietnamese, South American, Alaskan, it doesn't matter what. 95%. If we're 6.8 billion now, then it's probably close to 6 billion itself, if not more, that they have to get rid of just to have their 500 million. So, you guys are in there too. Everybody's in there. That's their plan. And the people that they want to have left, they might want to have some races in there, just to keep you interested, just to keep it looking pretty. But you're all still going to be mindless slave drones, doing the same thing, running like machines every day, and going home to get plugged in every night on ecstasy and drugs and fantasy and whatnot have you, to wake up the next morning and do the same thing over again. So if that sounds like a bright future for you, I wouldn't even call that a race. That's just an existence, and a pitiful one at that. So everybody should consider these things when the subject of race comes up. I've always looked at it this way because I came from a French-English area where the English wanted me to hate the French, and some of the French wanted me to hate the English. I just came to this simple realization all on my own. If I learn to both, I'm just going to have that many more friends and that much more knowledge. And so that's why after that, when I broke through that French barrier, then I wanted to start bumping into different cultures. So this is one of the reasons why every now and then you might hear me breaking into some kind of accent. That is because I highly enjoy using... Yes, it's because I highly enjoy using accents to have fun. I call people up, and then I play character like this, and I get them really messed up, and then I go, hi, it's me. And they go, oh. So, I have a good time at that, you know. That's what you learn from things like that. So, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go to another song for a few minutes. And then we'll move on to one of our next subjects. All right, peoples? So enjoy.
Give me another chance, baby. Give me another chance, girl. Another chance. Just one life, one more night. Give me just one more night, girl. One more night, 'cause I can't live without you. One more night, baby, give me one more night, girl. A million more nights, I can't sleep without you. Alright, 'cause every day me say me want you in my life. Come in now, I'll be wake if you know the devil by my side. I beg you, apply one of my pride. Y'all, me words are cold without you and me feelings can't hide. Remember when you say you need me all day. Make love from the room to inna the hallway, girl. Me no really want to learn the hard way. Me no flirt with the please, girl, so yeah. One more night, give me just one more night. One more night, 'cause I can't live without you. One more night, baby, give me one more night. A million more nights, and I can't sleep without you. Remember when you miss me, call me and tell me, say you want see me. Me never reach in time, are you a ball for me? As soon as me reach it, you away. Big smile by your face, you lock me down for the whole day. Y'all, me no want to be straight, me no want you to leave, me no want you to leave. Baby girl, don't leave me in dismay. Me need you by my side like all the I've need the peace. At least one more night, give me just one more night. Girl, one more night, 'cause I can't live without you. One more night, baby, give me one more night, yeah. A million more nights, I can't sleep without you. At least give me one more night, baby, give me just one more night. Me need you one more night, 'cause I can't live without you. One more night, baby, give me one more night, yeah. A million more nights, I can't sleep without you. Alright, 'cause every day me say me want you in my life. Come in now, I'll be wake if you know the day by my side. I beg you apply, so I'm my pride. Y'all, me words are cold without you and me feelings can't hide. Remember when you say you need me all day. Make love from the room to inna the hallway, girl. Me no really want to learn the hard way. Me no afraid, please, girl, stay. One more night, give me just one more night. Girl, one more night, 'cause I can't live without you. One more night, baby, give me one more night, girl.
All right. We're back now. Are you people hearing me now? No, blood clot. Wait a minute now. Me not ready for you now. All right, the people. Okay, we're back, yeah. I hope everybody enjoyed that one. if I was there to have the drinks with you, yes. Well, now we're on to our next subject. And I had decided tonight, since it was quite a surprise to find out this week that we're going to be bombing the moon.
Ba-doom.
And I'm like, wow, the insane clown posse is at it again. I was expecting some news on that satellite that they have out near Saturn. I'm not really sure if you guys are aware of that. They had originally, I believe they had put something, some radioactive type of waste on the satellite that they had orbiting Jupiter before they decided to send it out there. Yeah, if I remember from my research, when there was a big demonstration when they sent it out there because people had become aware that they were putting radioactive stuff on the satellite before they were sending it to Jupiter. And NASA started by saying, oh no, we're going to send it out into the middle of nowhere, something like that. But sure enough, once it got out there, then they came out and claimed, well, lots of people are coming after us saying that we're going to send it down into space and pollute out there. So, since Jupiter's a big ball of gas, why don't we just... And they ended up shooting it into there. As far as I know, that's what made that black dot that you see. And it comes out that it was their belief, hope, that they were going to attempt to light up Jupiter and give us a second sun. It just didn't happen to work. Thank goodness for us. You do realize we're dealing with an insane clown posse here, because to light up another planet right beside us, four beside us, hello, you know, and what are you gonna do, stare? You think you're just gonna get a little red on the cheeks there, buddy? What the hell? So, you know, what's our role in space? We don't have one. We were put here. This big ball of Earth we're standing on, this is where we were put. I do believe there were other things that were created to be up there. Yeah. The Bible tells me that. They're called spirit people. So we can discuss them later. But our role, you know, the only thing I can think of is if you were to say to yourself, oh, we see an asteroid coming, and regardless of that, you know, you're not meant to go up there. It's as simple as that. Why do you think that the people that go up there start getting older right away? Is that, you know, from the minute I learned that, I used to be, oh yeah, I want to go to the moon, I want to go everywhere. Now, when I learned that you start getting old, I'm like, you know, I'll forget about it for now until you figure that little thing out. Because forget about that, you know what I mean? It's bad enough we have to deal with the stress making us old here. Yeah, let's go out in space and jack it up a bit, you know? Wonder why we're wearing diapers again so quick. Now, we had this little problem with the ozone, and I come from Canada. So, supposedly, we were the ones with the big hole over us. When they decided to tell us. But it came out later, through other things that were stated, that every time that they decided to go up there, they made a hole in the ozone. And since they started sending up stuff probably in the 50s, and then really got intensive in the 60s and 70s, well, that's a whole bunch of holes back and forth. Poom, 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 poom. And I figure that usually, like, when something is spinning and you put a drop on it, it starts out where it is, and then before you know it, it's all the way around. But if we consider that they say, well, all the sediment that gets poured into the ocean, any type of poisons or toxins, because of the spinning effect, eventually they all find themselves up at the poles, up at North Pole and South Pole. Well, then could it be that throughout all these years, these various punchings through time, as the planet spun, would move up from wherever their position was to start collecting up altogether near the poles? Therefore, that's why a hole would happen. Either way, for them to admit that they're punching holes in it and then later tell us it's our problem because we were spraying to make the house smell nice. Here we go with some more junk science insanity. Creations have their place. All things are created where they're supposed to be. We were created here. fish were created under the ocean. Some microscopic bacteria and bugs and worms were created to live under dirt. Lord knows what's down really deep below us. I believe now it's a chamber. Things were made to live everywhere. And now in these extreme times where we can come to areas much closer with our, let's say, science techniques and technology, take readings from stuff, well, we find that there's stuff living on the lips of underwater volcanoes where the temperature is boiling and it's just pure acidic toxic waste there. There's practically no water, really. And yet these things are crawling around and running up and yoo-hoo and grabbing each other and eating and having a good old time. And just recently, a report came out saying that inside a volcano, they found things that were living on the inside, up on the side of the rocks there. So, we see that things are created to live everywhere, but you're supposed to recognize your place. Because I can guarantee you that it's not because some type of bacteria or life form can live on the inside of a volcano that I'm about to go join him. Let alone go down to the bottom of the ocean and let those crabs crawl all over me and comb my hair. So, we have to recognize where we belong to. And when it comes to up there, we were told that there were spirit creatures and that there were different things that lived up in space. And if we go up into space and we realize that we can't live up there the way those things do, however they live, we need suits. We need protection from this. We need protection from that. We need a way to sustain ourselves. Well, then your just common basic logic doesn't tell you that if you were to go live up there, you'd have to be more like them, or whatever lives up there must be made different from you in order to be able to sustain itself up there. But that doesn't mean that you're allowed to disregard it as complete insanity. Somebody's been keeping information away from us. We just don't know about it. When it comes to our rights, we don't have any right to be going out there doing stuff like this. I was kind of surprised by Mr. Jones and Mr. Rivio when they were saying, oh, it's just general, you know, they do it all the time, crush. Doesn't make it any better. Because the two things that upset me about that today when that person called in was that, first of all, we're talking about the moon here. We're talking about something that regulates our tides and various other mechanisms. Us, the common people, we don't, regardless if the elites have an understanding of how it works, we don't. But we definitely know it's not our right to go messing with it. You understand? And so to be saying it's just a common thing, no, we don't have any right to be doing anything up there. You know, if the planet is destroyed now, what right do you have to... So you're going to go off and start destroying the rest of it? You really think you're going to be able to get away with that? You know? It doesn't work that way. And Mr. Jones was making the statement that he doesn't want to... I understand the pressure about the reptoid thing that happened out there in Montana, you know, because they're just trying to cover their butts. So of course they're going to talk like a bunch of possessed idiots. Expect that, babbling idiots. But when it comes to the moon and the effects that it has on this earth, that is a truth. That is a reality. That's something that can be proven. The second thing that could be proven about that was that it was like one of those things that we've all been taught and talked about before, that they release the information. They do release the information to us at every nook and cranny and turn. But when it's buried in the back, when nobody talks about it, when none of the media covers it, hello, it's the same thing. It's information manipulation. It was taken out of the spotlight. They've just kept us concentrated on swine flu, and now they want to crank up Iran. And it does have to do with us not falling for the last little game that they were playing there. That's for sure. But it's relevant, you know, that they put the information out there, but then the media didn't cover it. They should be covering this just as much. They should be covering the questions about what's this going to do to tides? Are we going to experience earthquakes? What happens if you change the polarity of that satellite out there? Which is not up to you to make that adjustment. You understand? They have a lot of projects going on up there. It was about 2 years ago that on Alex Jones's show, he had mentioned, or it might have been him, might have been a caller, but somebody brought up the subject that there was a chance it was already mining on the moon, and that you could actually buy shares, stocks, in companies. The way it was projected to me back then was that because President Bush had signed it, that they planned by the time that they had established themselves in 2025. So you buy the stocks now, and then when they finally get to doing it up there at 2025, you'll just start getting an income from it. Well, I ended up finding that site, and ended up seeing that, yes, I could have very well bought stocks in mining on the moon. But since then, I've come across the imagery of actual mining projects on the moon, and realizing that there's a lot of things going up there that we don't know about. Okay, and this has to do with Freemasonry. I'll bring it up just now, but that's why only Freemasons go up there, because there's a lot of projects going on. I've also, through my research, found that there's stuff being done through the South Pole, and it's funny, in contradiction, that they do a lot. They themselves bring a lot of attention to it. And yet anybody trying to draw a conclusion from it, then they'll reject and say, no, you're insane, there's nothing going on in South Pole. But I remember when I was 12 or 13, and I saw the movie The Thing. And because it's polar and cold and everything, I'm thinking, well, this must be in the North Pole. I was surprised to see it say Antarctica, South Pole. And the two countries, United States and Norway. Alright, that's insane. That's people from the North Pole. They're what? A couple of kilometers from a big ice cap called the North Pole? No, we're going to go all the way over the world to the bottom of it, to the South Pole, to do something. You know? All these projects that are going on, there's a lot of things that have been hidden from us. I mean, they have hidden projects, hidden developments, hidden plans, hidden agendas, and hidden information on what's going on. And it's not anything different from everything else that we've been learning about, is it? When it comes to the things that we've found out that have brought us to this site and the type of knowledge that we're into now. It was all hidden from us. It was a great big scam going on, and for a while we were under the influence of a few things and allowing the rat race and the stress distract us just like everybody else. But regardless, I'm convinced most of us were always on some type of a path. We've always known that there's something wrong. And these hidden things are starting to come out now. And that's prophecy fulfillment. Because in Daniel chapter 12, the Lord had it written that in these end times many would rove about and the truth would come out. And so when we're seeing all of these realities around us, and they're coming out to be true, we can't get back into not believing in something just because it might be out of our sight or we're less knowledgeable about it. That doesn't make much sense, and that's not going to get us anywhere but still doubting, still uninformed. And when you discover something hidden, you're not supposed to leave it hidden. Let it remain that way. You're supposed to shout it from the rooftops and let everybody else know about it. Now, it's for sure that when it comes to this subject, all the time, I get ridicule. I get laughed at it most of the time. But most of the people, even within this listening space here that are aware of this, it's all part of the propaganda. This is what we've seen other people being taught to do, is to just laugh at people for anything, you know. But I was pointing out the other day that these days when we talk about V, oh, that was a great movie, V for Vendetta. I'd like to get a mask like that. I loved it too. I won't lie. But I said, wow, they took the name from the TV series. I was an 80s kid, and V was a series about a race of lizards that came to this planet, disguised as us, claiming to be our friends, only wanting a couple of minerals, and they were going to give us something in exchange for it. And then it turns out they ate us. They loved eating us, and they started enslaving us, and police stayed everywhere. And most of the people that have come out with stuff get laughed at and ridiculed. But none of us know. It's not any different than when you hear scientists start talking about, well, 5 million years ago. Excuse me, were you there? I wasn't there. I don't think you were there either. And I'm pretty sure that anybody on the planet right now, if I look around, no, none of them were here 5 million years ago either. So I'm going to be sure, just as sure about what you say, as I'm going to be sure about what's going to happen next week. Good luck, buddy. You understand? But they want this. I mean, all of us have realized by now, when something is unimportant or doesn't matter, people at least leave you alone. To get the constant ridiculing, it's because there's something important there that they just don't want to know. And when it comes to this, well, since I've seen establishments on the moon, buildings, things that look like colonies and mining operations, it could be that there's people already living up there. And it could very well be that this bombing has nothing to do with water. Because I'd like to break through the fluoride and the vaccines and all of that stuff. Just bust through it, yeah, right. With this simple fact, I found it odd for them to be saying now, well, the Indians found water on the moon, so now we want to go up and blow a big crater in the moon to see if it's going to fill up with water or if water's going to fly up at us. I thought you went to the moon in the 60s and the 70s. I thought you had guys climbing all over it, doing echolocation and x-ray and you name it. I thought you guys had mapped out everything. You had already figured out that it was mostly empty except for the center and this thing and that thing and the other thing. And now you guys are turning around and, we didn't know there was water up there. Well, now I don't know if you actually went up there. Now more than ever. Thank you for letting me know. My goodness. But people have to realize that. People have to take that into consideration and think about that. If they went up there and did all these scientific experiments when they went up the last time, and they were all scientists trained to do experiments, and I remember watching one of the documentaries on YouTube where they were doing some type of echolocation thing where they blast into the surface, and then the feedback back up tells them, you know, like x-ray, what's through the rock and the stratus and everything like this. And they said it sounded mostly hollow. So with all of that, and walking around and everything, you guys didn't find water. I just find that terribly strange. It gives itself away. So, when we don't do things like that, when we don't stop and start asking ourselves questions, I'm sorry if nobody likes me doing this, I'm reverting back to the monkey stuff that I was talking about before, about being a monkey in a cage. That's what you're doing again. You're starting to stand by the side and ready to beat somebody, and that's not how you're going to learn. That's not how you're going to figure these people out. This is not going to figure out what and who you are. You understand? You have to learn to question things, and you have to learn to realize that sometimes when you go in a certain direction and you get a lot of resistance, that's because you're on the right track. It's supposed to be that way. They don't worry about what they don't have to worry about. They don't block what they don't have to block. They don't take out what they don't have to take out and what helps them. So when you see people standing up, putting on a big show, thank you. Thank you very much. You're letting me know more than you. Thank you. And you just keep going. Because when it comes to archaeology, there's stuff that has started to come out in archaeology that shows, you know, on my, I think it's my second chemtrail story, I have the picture of the helicopter hydroglyph. And the two things on the other side of it and lower down, they look like ships. All three of them actually look like ships. The top one would look like a spaceship, and the bottom two look like a fighter and some other type of ship. Flying, you know, airplane. And I've heard from one of the people that tried to put up a debunking thing that water did that. Bite me, guy. Okay? Bite me. I've learned that people are reading the Bible wrong when they read it like we were cavemen coming out of caves. And then all of a sudden, you know, no. It said in the book, we were created perfect. And we had perfect intelligence. And we knew a lot. Okay? And I'm quite convinced that this is not the first time around for all of this. For all of this. But helicopters have played a theme that was shown to me by somebody, I believe it lives in Alberta. Helicopters have resonated. And through the ages, when some of the first flying machines were designed in view, you know, down on paper, they were in the form of helicopter time machines and whatnot. Always in the helicopter form. So I realize that they're quite important. You understand? But archaeology has been manipulated. This is one of the reasons that you always see that the government wants to get there. Because you take, for example, I believe it was when they were digging underneath the foot of the Sphinx in Egypt. And they knew that there was a chamber down there. But the minute that they were going to open it, the military showed up. And for the first month, nobody was allowed access. And then at the end of the month, the military goes away, and the officials come out and say, it was empty, there was nothing there. So sorry, going. Yeah, I'm a big stupid idiot. I don't know what happened during that month. I don't know that the military took whatever was in there. Because the right person came in first, looked around, and said, yeah. This can't see the light of day now. No, they'll go monkey crap on us. We gotta take this. We gotta hide this. So they take it and they store it away. But regardless of that, since I was going to grade school, it was in grade school the first time that I was shown by a teacher that cavemen had drawn on the wall a guy with a hood on his head with the tube coming down. And ever since then, I've seen cave drawings. And drawings from different countries going back through time, showing themes like this to realize that it's not new. And we're just not being given the option to be shown this stuff and weigh it and make our own decisions. And that's what we're at least supposed to have the right to do, without people arguing with us and ridiculing us. But one of the reasons that we know so little is because, from my research, Freemasons. Every astronaut has been a Freemason. And here in Canada, we had an astronaut named Marc Garneau, who was one of the first Canadians to go up back in the 80s. And sure enough, he retired from being an astronaut, and now he's a politician for the Liberal Party up here in Montreal. A federal Liberal politician. So yes, just like all of our politicians are Freemasons, so are most of the astronauts. That's why I believe it's really hard to get a straight answer, because you could see 15, 20 different astronauts coming out with 15, 20 different stories. When you know about the Freemasons, when you know it's about manipulation of information, disinformation, leading us astray, you've just got to put it all in one big garbage bag and throw it there. Thank you. Because that's what it's worth. But seeing them in their moon pictures on the moon, with a shot that they didn't put in the newspapers or out for anybody to see, where they've got the Freemason robes on in front of them over their suits out there in space to show it's not just America that made it here. The Freemasons made it here. So I believe that when it comes to this issue of space, everybody should just keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. And what is your inspiration for that? Well, on any given night, go outside and look up. Look up at the stars in the universe. And you know that it expands. It goes on forever and ever and ever, right? And we are supposed to be a creation of our Creator. Look out there. Isn't that an open mind for you? That's what an open mind is. Endless infinity. Not closed off in the monkey box, throwing crap at each other. So, I'm going to head off for a minute and smoke another cigarette here. I'll give you guys one more nice little song to enjoy, and I'll be right back. Alright? Thank you.
Guten Morgen, Baguettes, Buenos Dias, Shalom.
Aloha, ciao, Buenos Aires, Achidanya.
Jason Kadi Cherem, bonjour, bonsoir, top of the morning to you. You look marvelous.
So I'm back, and we're in our last half hour here, and I'm going to get into my final subject here, and then we can all call it a wonderful evening. What do you say? So for my last little topic here, I was just going to go over why I had written some of my articles, and maybe even cover one topic I haven't, that I've wanted to. It was one of my first. One of the reasons I didn't cover it, though, was because I felt like it was already in play and people should be aware of it all. And that's Codex, the food problem. You see, regardless of the fact that we have this deadline on midnight, December 31st, 2009, it's already been in play for a long time. It actually started just before World War II. I got confirmation from this from one of my father's friends who happens to live in the backcountry here in Quebec. And he's been a farmer all of his life. And in 38, he was telling me, before 1938, he would never have to take any type of supplement whatsoever. They had flour from wheat, and it had vitamin E in it, and nutrients and minerals, so that you didn't need anything. He says in 1938 was when they started taking all of the nutrients out of it. And he immediately began to have skin problems himself and had to start taking vitamin E supplements. But when you look at the food around you today, we also know that this has all been very, very incremental. And incremental implies exactly that. It's not a wham bam, there you go, buddy. It's slowly creeping up on that's what incremental is. And when you look at our food today, they've slowly came out with bogus reports to try and make it look like certain chemicals and fillers and byproducts were just as good as if not better than. It doesn't work that way, and our bodies have slowly told us over time. But I'd like to give you all a little trick here, because one of the things that was uncovered to me when I watched Dr. Rima Label and her Codex presentation, she brought across the point of how they give us specific poisons and chemicals. And the way she explained it, she said, they'll give an amount to a rat, the biggest amount, see, like when he'll drop dead, boom, this is a toxic amount, when you give him this, he's dead. They write that down. Then they go way back to like the smallest amount possible, so that it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything to the little rat at all. And they slowly come up, slowly making the size bigger and bigger, until they see an effect in the rat. They write that down. They add the two up, they divide it by 100, and that's the amount that they're going to put into your food. This is how they put in specific pesticides and chemicals and stuff that they know are going to be bad for us. And I was sitting there meditating, chewing on this one day. And for some reason, across my mind came the subject of placebos, sugar pills, and the experiments therein. And they stated, well, we realize that if we give this guy an aspirin, and we give the other guy an aspirin, and we give the other guy a sugar pill, but we tell all three of them get rid of their headache. So that means the mind fooled that third guy, because all he took was a sugar pill, and he still ended up losing his headache. This is so cool, and this is so good. Yeah, right. And up until today, they will not, let's say, recognize the fact that it takes that much of the emotional side as well as the doctor side. Because right now they'll bring you into the hospital to do the doctor side, to charge you the surgeon's fee, but get your ass out of here by tomorrow morning. There's no care anymore. So they've already dropped that other side. So they're hypocrite in that. But I got to thinking that
No, I believe that the purpose of placebos was the exact opposite. Because what do they do to you now? What do they really do to you now? They give you pills with chemicals and toxins in them. But they tell you it is good for you. They convince you that this is going to be good for you. So you start off putting on a mental block that might actually delay the reaction that you're supposed to get from this particular thing that's coming into you. But all things are different. All the chemicals and elements are different, so that some might flush out of you and you'd never notice them, whereas others, like fluoride, accumulate. They build up. And so after a while, you start getting a reaction. You understand? Now, what happens when somebody happens to trip across your path and give you the information that what you're taking is not actually good for you, but it is toxic and this and that and the other thing? They've just removed that mental block. Your face and jaw drop in shock. But by the next day, your reaction will be 10 times as worse if you go ahead with that product. Now it'll really show on you. Why? Because your body was meant to reject it. But before, you had a placebo effect on you. And as long as there hadn't been enough of an accumulation, that placebo effect was working fine. But this shows you that things accumulate, and that's when your body starts to break down. And then you're all of a sudden rushed to the hospital. You've, let's say, defecated your stomach out, and you don't have one left, and you're wondering what just hit you. Well, it was all these chemicals that built up in compartments in this corner and that corner, and this is the punch that it did to you. Now it's taking you down. You understand? That was also one of the reasons why my first article that I wrote, because it was the vaccinations that snapped me, but it was the fluoride that I went after, because I knew that it was a crime in front of us. Back in 1992, I had a friend, when I was working at a place, just turn to me and tell me, "Do you know that there's a warning on the back of your toothpaste to tell you that if you swallow any, to call a poison control center?" And I'm like, "Dick oilis bonum sesperpo." I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him at all. He's like, "Yeah, check when you go home." So I go home and I look, and sure enough, there's this little warning. If you swallow even a pea-sized amount, call a poison control center or a medical professional. I was like, holy shnikes, he's right. This was 92, 93. And just last year, I believe, for some reason, something was telling me to check the toothpaste. I'm standing in Jean Couture. I grab a paste. I grab two or three of the different brands. And I see on all of them, the warning has come off. And I was aware of the amount. I always had the amount in my head for some reason from the first time that I checked there in 92, 93. 0.243. That was in my head, 0.243. And even today, there are still more of the more expensive ones, the fancy ones. They're still at 0.243. But I'm looking at this one that we've picked up at like 79 cents, you know. 0.776. So I just do the math there. Oh, that's 3 times as much. Well, this is a crime right in front of us. And it just so happens that at that time I'd come across the Maxwell Jordan site, and I saw that he had been smart enough to have the labels from 2006 where it still said drug on it. Drug effect. So I'm like, beautiful, thank you very much. So now I can take this crime that's right in front of people, but because they're fluoridated, they don't realize it. And here we go. And one of the things that I noticed about fluoride too through the research, it was the first one. You know, it's like the minute they finished World War II, they said, okay, the fluoride worked good there, now we're going to have to do it on everybody. Because regardless that they put the United Nations together, they knew that they were never going to get their will of all of us completely giving in right away from the get-go. We wanted to keep our nations, we wanted to keep our independence, make your stupid little monkey parade there, we don't care. And they were just like, okay, let us make our monkey parade. The minute they made their monkey parade, they got the dentists all in there, and they said, look, you're either going to push this product or not. But they just come off a war of processing tons upon tons of aluminum and metal to make all of their army equipment. And they had piles of this toxic crap lying around. It was expensive to get rid of. So, it's like killing two birds with one stone for them. And by the second week of those people brushing, that's your parents and grandparents, by the second week, they were asleep. You realize this? All of us. We were drugging ourselves. We were drugging ourselves with fluoride. We were drugging our kids. And when you read the effects that fluoride has on kids, you realize, damn it, when my children would go to school and act up, couldn't concentrate, couldn't learn, only act retarded, these are all side effects of this, and I'm having them brush their teeth every morning. Now, I believe that a responsible person takes their responsibility. They say, look, it's not the end of the world there, because I didn't know, but now I know, and now I can do something about it. And I stop my kids brushing. And I try my best, because it's getting harder and harder to buy water that doesn't have fluoride in it. I came across documents from 1933 and 1938 that listed all the toxic effects. Because one of the things that people have to realize is that when they started this whole science thing on us, let me put it to you this way. Can I screw you at a game of poker if I don't know how to play poker? No, I don't think so. I think I have to know poker inside and out to be able to manipulate it in a way where I can screw you and you don't see it. You have to know what you're doing. It is the same thing for these people that we're dealing with, these sick scientists. If you think that they didn't know, you're damn right they know what vitamins work for us, what minerals work for us, how much nutrients are supposed to be in our food, how clean the water is supposed to be. They know all of this. Otherwise they wouldn't be able to mess it up in a way and convince us that they're actually doing good for us. No, you have to know your snake oil to be a snake oil salesman. Okay? And in their 33 and 38 reports, they put it all out there. But then I get the report from 47 where one guy's saying that, yeah, he saw those reports, but they were biased and they just rejected them outright. And they came up with their own that sounded better. But it shows that in 2006, they wanted to put people asleep for what's coming up here and there. Because this was just 3 years ago that they did this. They up the amount and they take off the warning. You know, and I live in insanity land here in Canada, where I call up the government and they're telling me, well, we don't classify it as a toxin and a contaminant and a byproduct. We classify it as a health product. Health product? Damn woman. How do you sleep at night? I didn't know what to say. You know? You guys are lucky, I guess, if in the USA they still classify it as a toxin, because here they've already changed the science to lie about it. But one of the things that I also noticed with the fluoride was that in these last few years, they've been talking about a rise, an increase in, excuse me for my blank here, what do they call it? Obesity, that's the one, obesity. In the past few years, they've been talking a lot about obesity on the rise. Well, I come to find out that the fluoride does two very bad things to your thyroid gland, which is in your throat. And that is this. It blocks your thyroid. Your thyroid does two things. It sends out repair cells to repair your body of anything that it needs. And it regulates your weight. So by upping the amount three times and then watching as the 3 years progress, and they keep complaining more and more about obesity, why don't you jack it up five times and we can watch people walk around like dents, Sacrament? I mean, what do you want me to say? It's just that I'm at the point now, man. I got so mad sometimes, I'm like, who wants to kill themselves? But boy, you chuck the hell out of people to go to the pharmacy, stand in the aisle, swallow a tube, and then die from the toxic reaction right there in front of them. Maybe that would wake people up because they're so goddamn stupid. And I pushed the fluoride because it was the first. And to me, it appears to be the blanket that allowed them to do everything else. Because once you were fluoridated, you stopped raising your heads to the skies to notice those clouds. And you didn't want to argue with the doctor. You just wanted to trust that needle that he was putting in you. You know? But the chemtrails I came across in 2006, working near the airport in Dorval. And every day I'd come out. And it could be the nicest day in the world at 7 in the morning. Could look like a great day. You'd come out at 12. The sky above you can see is still clear. But there's this haze. And you can see it's all lines like you're on a big cherry pie there, the tic-tac pattern. all over the place. You're having trouble breathing. And I enjoyed that job like heck, but I was sick almost every day of it. I always had a cold and a runny nose. My nose was always running. And I started researching the chemtrails back then. But when I came across the treaty, it was in April that I came across the treaty, April of this year. And when I realized they'd been doing it to me since 75 there, oh boy, I completely lost it there. And I wrote the vaccination article because basically I was listening to the Jones Show that day. And out of all of the things, out of all of the things that these pitiful, twisted creatures have been doing to us, trying to do to us throughout history and now, the one thing that scared me the most was little bugs I couldn't see. Bacteria, bibits, especially biologically engineered weapons, as I had described on the show the other day, that movie, Endangered Species, watching the guy brush his teeth and then 15 minutes later his stomach rip open and spill out from the bacteria. That always scared me the most, and all the bio movies. So Dr. Horowitz says on Alex's show that the scariest part of their report was when they were asked about priming the population and sending out the bits onto us. So I went ahead afterwards, and I ended up finding his video, because at the same time Dr. Horowitz had released his video, it was a warning. And I sat down with a piece of paper and a pen, and I wrote down everything that he said. And then I went researching. And I'm damn good at researching just about anything that I do. So it's for sure when I turned my attention to this, I found more than... And that's when I realized that that was the scariest part. I wasn't even scared of the fact that we had uncovered that they had released the bug on us, and that it was engineered, and it was insect and swine and human and bird. Whoop, you know, that one didn't... It was all the other things that I've heard about through the years that they supposedly have in their possession, that if they decide they're going to release this on us, this is insanity. So, the culmination of all of this, basically I sat there, I broke down, I realized, I'm dead, you're dead, we're all dead, because this is so big and so far gone, we'll never be able to stop what they've already done. It's out of our control, it's out of our hands. But I had control over one thing. What was I going to do from now until that bug came and got me? What was I going to do from now until when those chemtrails eventually gave me the fluoride? I decided, you know what? I'm taking everybody out of the way. I don't want to hear anybody anymore as far as believing in them, trusting in them. Forget it. I know who to trust. I know who led me to this information. Jehovah. Because he's the only one I ever asked for this information. I didn't ask anybody else. I don't go to the other one. I've had to go to the other one through my life, trying to fit into this rat hole. Okay? And it never worked out for me. Because, A, it wasn't meant to. And B, I'd always go in grudgingly, looking forward to the point I get kicked out. Good, because I don't want to be a good worker for you. Shove it up your, you know... That's me. So, I've only ever asked him, and he led me to everything. So I said, look, I'm putting down my witness, and I'm a witness to these things. We're all witnesses to what's going on here. You know, tomorrow morning, you walk out on the street, and a guy's slapping up his wife. Cop comes along, grabs you by the shoulder. You think you have to go to some religious association to be able to use that word? No, he's going to grab you. You're going to go to court as a witness. You are a witness. You understand? Witness means when you're there and you see it. We're seeing all of this. We're exposing this. We're exposing them. We're witnesses to this. And my witness is that this is where I got my information from. And that little black book, I suggest that everybody start reading it. And read it over and over again. And don't be afraid. Okay? Because there's not a lie in there. I know I could go on. I'll go on another night to discuss what's been hidden from us when it comes to that book. But as I pointed out to my son the other night, I can't lie to people. I'm happy that I came across the newer books and the newer information. But I didn't need them. They weren't required for me to stay on the path that I was on. What I was given was good enough. It's what got me here, and what led me to those other books and that further information, and I'm going to grow more now. You understand? But it's always been men and their interpretations of that little black book and who wrote it. And I've heard all the lies. I've heard everything twisted, okay? Use your common sense and your logic. Then why do they have to kick it? If it's all meaningless, if it's all nonsense, if we've had 20 million religions forever and we're going to have to, okay, then leave that one alone. One of the reasons that I continued to study all through my life with the Witnesses was because to actually study the Bible and read it, they were the ones who taught me to chew and meditate on things. But I noticed that, like, to me particularly, and to people in my neighborhood, they were not troublemakers, they were not rabble-rousers, they didn't spread rumors, they didn't cause trouble. They left you alone in peace aside from wanting to read the Bible with you. That was it. Okay? And I looked at all the other religions, always trying a gimmick, sending around kids with cans, doing this, that, the other thing. Nobody wants to badmouth them. But my goodness. I mean, the more they wouldn't leave the Witnesses alone, well, look, I read my Bible. My Bible says at the end of the times, there's a big crowd that don't believe in God, and they ridicule and they persecute. So I'm treating myself like an idiot here if I can't sit back and look and say, well, look, here's some people following God. And aside from following God, they're not bothering anybody. They're not really bothering anybody. They don't ask you for money. They didn't this, that, the other thing. And then I've got all these other people that are doing whatever the hell they want. And they could badmouth anybody they want. They have a list as long as the world. You understand? But no, they always have to go back to the witness. You know what the worst are the witnesses? You know what the witnesses get on my... Okay. Thank you. Same thing with Jehovah. You know? Because I followed a program that was on Google Video. And it was called Final Onslaught. Each video is between 2 and 3 hours. I believe I watched over 25 of them. It's the complete history of the church from the time of Jesus until now. So when I learned that in one of the papal bulls, they outlawed the name of Jehovah. Thank you. Thank you. You didn't outlaw any other name. You didn't outlaw any of the other names that I know of. You outlawed that one. And then later on, you had complete disregard for Jesus. You've made Mary higher than him. You've made the Pope higher than him. You've made anybody you want higher than him, whomever you feel like. Thank you. You continue to expose yourself exactly for what you are. And you continue to tell me that I'm on the right path. Because that one that you say is this, that is it. Yeah? I'll let all of you guys out there know something. You might like my show. You might like me. In my life, I've been a nothing, okay? A nothing. And if it was up to quite a few people, I'd have been dead on the side of the road a long time ago. I know who has sustained me until now. I know who led me into every job, every corner of knowledge, every book, every person I met, everything I ever experienced to bring me here now. And I've never questioned my heart about it, because in my search, I didn't want to hurt any of you out there. Nobody. I don't have to. I don't have to hurt anybody. That isn't what I came here for anyways. To control anybody. To tell anybody what to do. I just wanted to live and get along. I don't mind troubleshooting. I don't mind showing people a happy day in a happy way. I don't mind giving freely. Without expecting back. I don't mind friendship and company. I don't mind laughing and enjoying things. And I know my Creator enjoys those things too. That's why He gave us the capability to experience all of those things. We're here now to go through this. To learn. To learn exactly that. That when you go back to the beginning, and we talked about the tree of knowledge and bad and good, I've just forever had that question. What idiot wanted to know about bad? Because when you read that, well, he created everything and it was good. He created the plants and it was good. He created the animals and it was good. He created man and it was good. And at the end of the day, he created everything and it was good. And you even know that Adam, up until the time Eve comes along, he seemed to be just thinking about the good, because he was told about the tree of good and bad. And you don't read about Adam saying, I wonder what bad is. When Eve comes along, he's still, everything's good, guy. He doesn't even pay attention to that tree. You understand? So I can't help questioning myself with people now. Who wants to know bad? Well, I'll put it to you this way. If I have to know bad, I'll pray for protection, and I'll just forever spend my life making sure that I don't become it. My only purpose for learning it is to defeat it at this point. And I look forward, I'm sure most of you do too, to forgetting it all. And not ever having to think about this stuff ever again. But for now, I think everybody should put on a great big smile and be happy and proud of themselves for what they're doing here. And keep it up. And when we see things like last night, we get any resistance, we get people trying to hack us, take us down, belittle us, call us, whatever. That just goes to show how good we're doing. Keep it up. So I'm going to say goodnight for tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed my show. And I look forward to talking with you all next week. And until then, sorry to you, I'll have Rage take us out. Good night, everyone.